Did y'all see that thing I sent you, that TikTok I sent you of Greg Locke saying how he gave up tax exempt status because he didn't want no demonic control over him, but he just didn't.
But he didn't. Yeah, he just said he did.
He just didn't. And that's just, I mean, that is everything you need to know about what Christianity can be.
Can become.
It might not be that. Okay, I hear you folks out there. My church is different. My life is different. But Greg Locke is showing you what Christianity can be. Jesus started
service.
Jesus started out at the beginning going, whoa, hold on. Just don't.
Yeah, don't.
Definitely don't need money. You don't need any of this bullshit. Forgive. Like Jesus said the simplest things, and now we have Greg Locke calling people witches in his church.
Yeah.
And that's just, it just shows you what can be. Isn't it insane?
I mean, he's got the tax exempt, claiming tax exemption, non-tax exemption is a great way to basically attack the system or the IRS. He got 100%. To attack the IRS in front of everybody, but he didn't even have to do it. So it's kind of like, it's like having a Kickstarter. Like if you made your own Kickstarter and you said it was over $1 million already and people just kept giving, like, you know what I mean? But it's not over $1 million, but you made it's like not the web, like you know, you
it's
fake
like when Matty Mullins got reached his GoFundMe goal for his dog.
Don't get me started.
Matty Mullins is in.
Don't get me started.
How many? What is the name of his man? He was on this pod. He was on the previous podcast
on the old pod. What
is the name of his?
Memphis Mayfire.
Memphis. How many monthly Memphis listens Mayfire. Do you think they have?
Oh,
I think it's like over
1.4 mil.
Oh, they
1.
Have a good bit.
One and a half mil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is right under Amber Lynn, by the way. Isn't that wild?
They bet.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And then, but Memphis Mayfire has way bigger band than, of course, As Cities Burn. I mean, As Cities Burn is like a,
of course. Yeah, I've local. Never. Wait,
it's
I've
a,
never claimed.
It's worse than a local compared to Memphis Mayfire.
I know, I mean, but I've never claimed.
But you know
otherwise.
That, right?
I've never claimed. I've never been delusional about the size.
I don't know. You've thought some big things about your band before.
What are you talking about? I've never thought anything more than what
you thought. Come on.
What did I think?
That you were going to be the like bigger than Under Oath.
No, we never thought we were going to be bigger. No,
you
hold on.
Did.
Now, no,
you thought
that's
if the
not
next,
true.
You had to
not bigger.
We thought Emery thought we were going to be bigger than Under Oath or Amberlynn and all them.
Y'all were way ahead of us on that train. You could have been.
No,
you had an opportunity.
You know you could have been.
But I've never thought anything that having a thought or a hope of what you could do is different than being delusional about what you are.
Aaron's thought it wasn't necessarily we're going to make more money because he knew that it would be a flaw in that. But he did think we are much better than musically.
But everybody thinks that about their
No,
own
but
band.
Did you think, okay, compared to all the other bands on Tooth and Nail, did you think you're number one? Like,
not,
just
no,
like,
number
at
one,
the music.
I think we're high.
Top five?
I think we're high. Like, of all time? I don't know how to answer that.
Top five?
That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
Who's number one on the, just on Tooth and Nail alone? Like, both our bands are on Tooth and Nail.
Yeah.
What do y'all think's the number one band ever on Tooth and Nail?
How are you going to have to clarify for me?
Well, okay. How about, biggest reach? Maybe.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like
what, the big Jeremy Camp's the best.
Jeremy Camp, yeah.
Jeremy Camp's the greatest artist and the best songwriter and singer and personality.
He was on BEC.
MXPX. We can't do Reach. That doesn't mean
Reach doesn't mean.
I don't know. You don't think Under Oath or Amberlynn's bigger than MXPX?
They definitely
I think Under Oath probably has the most actual reach. Like, has most people more, but MXPX and Under Oath probably
August Burns Red?
I just think the total cultural penetration of Under Oath might
now,
be the highest.
Okay, now, best band
but that's not, doesn't
musically.
Mean best.
Okay, best band musically to
that's
you.
You mean in a more objective manner or subjective manner?
Yeah, personal or, you know.
I would say personally. Like, you know, I know everybody goes, oh, man, this band. You know, like, we all like 238. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
that's
I
up there.
I don't know if I would
that's
say
very
they're, my,
close
they're the number
the
one band, but I might would, but like, so I know Devin loves 238. There was there was a decade there where Devin said whenever he looked at the clock, it said 238.
It did.
Yeah.
It still does.
Me too, Devin.
Still does.
Me too. I think
still
that's everybody, I guess.
That's so
I
funny.
Mean, You Should Be Living, I thought was probably one of the top 10 best Tooth & Nail records ever, for sure.
Well, I mean, they did regulate the chemicals, which was unreal. And then they put out You Should Be Living, which was...
But no traction.
No traction.
And people was, people might
they
say...
They were on Chad's label first, though. What was that one called? Take Hold.
Take Hold,
yeah. Take Hold? Is that right?
Chad had
some,
all the good bands.
Some people would really say did. There is... some people are going to say something about Me Without You, but a lot of people might are going to say something like Starflyer, talking about Jason Martin as a brilliant person. But I think you could put Cody in a conversation with like brilliant artists that were on the label or something. You could. I can see that argument.
Nobody would say Toby or Devin from Emory? Or
people
Emory?
Definitely would say that.
A lot of people would say you're say that. People think you're their favorite. Yeah. Some people think that.
You think there are people that would say we are the greatest band that ever was on Tooth and Nail?
Some people, yes.
Yeah, but there's some people really that think they. Yeah, no, but there's a gradient of like the I'll put it this way. If just a bunch of doofuses like the Tooth and Nail fans that are the goofiest with the worst taste think you're the best, that doesn't mean you're the best. But you know, when you have a higher and higher level of artistic people saying this person's the best, that creates a different conversation.
But there is no one that I know out of all the bands I've ever toured with, all the fans I've ever met that would ever say we're number one on Tooth and Nail. I don't think I've ever met a person. I know people go, you're my favorite band.
What about
band
people that say you're their favorite band on earth? That implies you're the best band on Tooth and Nail.
Well, they would say you're better than any other Tooth and Nail band if we're better than every band on earth.
I think that's just in the moment, though, right? Like, people say some crazy shit in the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always kind of bother me.
Emory's some people's favorite band. That's not a hard. There's people that Emory's their favorite band.
People always walk up to me and say, oh my God, you're my favorite band. Can I have a pick? But I've never once believed them. Ever. I don't care if they were crying. I don't care. I do not. I believe in that moment, we are in a localized situation where I am the most famous person in the room and they feel emotional about it. Because, I mean, I promise you, in that moment, if they saw Brad Pitt walk into the room, they would leave me. And they're telling me I'm their favorite. I mean, my band, my music probably means more to them than movies that Brad Pitt has been in. But I really believe if people started seeing, if Brad Pitt and Ryan Gosling walked in, everybody would
drop.
Oh, my gosh. Feel that. Dude, I'll be right back.
Or something. Now, agree with you in a sense because you get certain fans come up to you. And there'll be a guy who says, oh, my gosh, you guys are my favorite band. Walls was my favorite album. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. My favorite album is The Weeknd, y'all, man.
Yeah,
my
so they don't
my
know
favorite
the
band,
name
my
of
favorite
your
album
first
is
favorite
Weeknd.
Album is Walls. Do you know how many times I've heard that in my life?
So, and obviously
dude, that album,
is not
The Weeknd.
Woo! That is an instant indicator that they are obviously, we're not their favorite band or they're not our biggest fan or whatever. But there are some people who come up. And I think they're genuinely in awe of us. And they're like, oh, my God, you guys are my favorite band like that. We talked to a guy on the last tour who was, like, crying and stuff. I mean, that is pretty intense. And I think he probably does. Like, if you met Freddie Mercury or whoever your favorite guy is, I mean.
Especially now.
Especially now.
If you met him now.
Now. But, I mean, you would act very strange, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you act strange if you met him? So I guess it's a little bit. I think it could be both. I mean, I think we are definitely people's favorite band, and they would say for sure best on Tooth and Nail.
Go ahead.
When they tell Toby that he's their favorite, he doesn't believe them. But I might suggest, that when the people that have 1. Whatever million, let's just say a Stephen Christian or Matty Mullins, when they are told. They believe it. I guarantee they believe it.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I was getting ready to say. That's my number one worst trait as a person. I believe that it is the hardest thing in the world to find something that is authentic and real in the moment because I cannot believe it. And it goes all the way back. And you've heard – you, Matt and Devin have heard this story a million times. Lunser, maybe you've even heard me say it. It all goes back to me – trying to get, it was $14 to go to the Biltmore House in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And my dad goes, why in the world am I going to pay $14 to go see stuff in some house? We got stuff in my house. He said, what, you're going to go see a vase? There's a vase right there, son. And he was right. And now I go, my dad at the time was like, you fucking asshole. Oh, my God, you piece of shit. Why would you don't understand. I'm going, it's way more than some house. It's the trip. It's the people. It's everything. But it got me. That thing got me. And now there is some authenticity in my dad that I fucking respect. And I hate it because he was saying you're going to go somewhere because people told you that these things are valuable and you should go see them. Uh-huh. And he thought
right.
It's a waste. Like, now, he's really fucked up with money. Real bad. Real bad. But I promise, it's so hilarious. I promise. Let me just read you the last, now that we're talking about my dad, let me read you the last few texts from my dad because this is hilarious. Now, my dad got a patio in his backyard. I got one in my yard about a year ago. And yep. I think it's been kind of bothering him that I had a patio, and he always kind of wanted one. And so he got one, even though his house isn't like – his house from the outside looks great, and the inside is fine, but there's some issues with it. He could make some real improvements. And it's not – like when my family goes to visit, it's not set up. But he had this idea to get this patio for whatever reason because it meant something to him. So anyway, so my dad – let me show you. Let's see where. So first thing he texted me a few weeks ago was Gary, who's my brother. Gary started his new job today, and he took 2 vacation days at his last job and quitting there tomorrow. Today and tomorrow, he's getting paid for both jobs. So what my dad is telling me, y'all see that is just my dad seeing it. Practically, right? He's letting me know how smart my fucking brother is.
Yeah.
Not Toby, the emo singer. Yeah. I had to write back. Sounds like a good deal, exclamation point. All right. Then he sends me pictures of his patio and the gazebo that he had put up, which is really – and I have to write, oh, wow, that looks so great, Dad. And he says it'll look way better when the he says when I get all the furniture inside and out, it will look even better. Thanks. Then immediately, Joe Biden got COVID. Then he has to show me all the boards in his gazebo. This is over. I mean, that Joe Biden got COVID was immediately after telling me about the I said, wow, your place looks good. He wrote me on Wednesday, you might need to get a couple Mega Million tickets for Friday night. It's over a billion. I bought 5. You never know. Your brother bought 10.
What do you think he's telling Gary about you? Like, did you hear Toby rebranded his podcast? It looks great.
Gary said that mom and dad both talk bad about me. And they say my dad goes, Gary, I don't know. He gets mad all the time. He's just always mad. I'm like, well, I think that the way you're communicating with him might be pushing some buttons. I don't know. He said, what did I say? All I said was, let's get, there's people up there. We got to keep moving on the golf course. Oh, anyway. And then Dad on Saturday just wrote me back. He wrote me, it's a William Dafoe. I don't know if y'all can see it. It's a William Dafoe meme. Like that. And it says, Biden got COVID again. It's William Dafoe like maniacally laughing as whatever Spider-Man movie or whatever, and my dad said Biden got COVID again. And I don't know what I'm supposed to say back to him. If I say anything, if I go anywhere outside our circle, but that is my dad. Like, he isn't holding punches for even me. You know what I mean? Like, it is him. And so that really did fuck me up a little bit.
So do you find that to be a moment of, loss of innocence? Is that really what that boils down to? It's like, man, that's just spoiled
about it. I would say loss of ignorance is the way I view it. I might be wrong about that, and that sounds harsh. Mm-hmm. But I do think loss of ignorance. Like, I see what he is saying. Now, what my dad doesn't understand, it sounds – I feel like people listening might be like, oh, this is sad or something. It's not. I mean, it is, but sad like everybody else. It's not like, oh, my God, this is super bad. But my dad, he felt like really early on that this is what the world is, and so that's just what it is. And so why bullshit? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, why bullshit and say this thing, you know? And so it just, you know.
But he's got it boiled down in a way that strips out a lot of the mystery and wonder, right?
Yeah. But you know, yeah, like, yeah. But straight to the point, too. Like, what more needed to be said about who my dad is, what he thinks, where mm-hmm. his allegiances mm-hmm. lie than Biden got COVID again?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that just – I mean, how much information – that is kind of brilliant in that short of a sentence to let you know who he is, what he thinks, where his allegiances lie, all of that.
Where just what's on his mind.
And it's just 100% true. That dumbass, yeah. He thinks that dumbass told me to wear a mask and to do this and other, and now he's got it for the second time. And I can't make fun of him, or maybe should be made fun of, or nobody's talking about it, or you know, whatever. I'm not saying my dad's right, but you know what I mean. Like, he's not, but it's kind of crazy that he could be so like right on the nose of something that explains who he is, and he doesn't need to say any more words. He didn't need a response from me or anything. I think that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So
The lottery one's always the thing. I think that's what the thing that disturbs me about that lottery thing is how many people, it feels like they get into it because, like, my dad talks about the lottery now, but he never would have before. Yeah. And I always thought he would be the kind of person that understood why you shouldn't be into the lottery, but now he is into it, like, but as a social narrative and some kind of fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And then it's like, it sicks me out that the government runs that thing. It just
that's a good point.
Really bothers me. It just really, really continually, increasingly bothers me that's – but maybe it's like the Hunger Games or something. You just have to have it. Like, it's this thing that has to be a conversation that everybody can have, but the government just gets all the money.
Right. Yeah, a guy on TikTok broke it down, and if you – after everything, taxes, taking the payout and everything, it was
it
way
takes
under –
people's money?
I think it was like – maybe around $400 million, which is an unbelievable amount of money, but I mean $600 million, the majority of it went to the government.
But not even the taxes that they take back. I just mean their cut of the lottery tickets though. Like it's not the whole price. It's not all the money people spend on lottery tickets. It's way more than a billion. I don't know how many billion is that.
Right.
And the prize part is that.
Right.
And then they take most of that. But that's not the worst part about it. The worst part about it is that it prevents people from thinking about making their life better.
Right.
That's what I don't like about the lottery is it gives you multiple hours of fantasy time about how your life might improve.
Yeah,
if
fun.
You get when you know whatever Lunch that is instead
it.
Of actual
I'm kinda,
like improving
me,
your life.
Well, see, you got a hard time convincing me, Lunsford, and Devin on this.
I know.
Podcast. I mean,
I know.
Because I mean, Lunsford, your thoughts on it are it is fun. Is that right? Like
yeah,
it's
of
just
course.
Like I mean, you don't think how do you how evil do you think like what Matt's saying about the
it feels evil?
Well, no, I mean any yeah, it, I mean it's a racket by the government
feels
for sure.
Something wrong.
With it's a redistribution of wealth from poor people back to the government. 100%.
Mostly, it's the right. It's right.
Yeah,
and,
but
and,
I also
and it's preventing them from improving their lives with their time and energy.
Yeah,
and the money's takes a ride. That's their focus.
I think it depends on
that's their. But maybe let me just make an opposite argument real quick. You can run with this if you like, but there's still a difference in the poor people and you or whoever. But the other argument is the same as, and this freaks me the fuck out too. Do you remember in the pandemic when they just like, oh yeah, you can do whatever with alcohol now because if we don't let you have it. Shit's going to get really fucking crazy. So you can take alcohol out.
Yes.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
That might they might just know that we need the lottery.
Yeah.
And our alcohol like
Ooh.
That. Like you know what I'm saying? Like it might just be true that if I was running all of everything like the king, I would quickly be convinced when I understood what would happen if you didn't give people their fantasy what the state of affairs would actually be. And I go, "Oh yeah, do that lottery thing for them." That might be what it is. Same as, alcohol is bad for everybody, but we have to do whatever we can to instantly repeal laws we've been fighting for forever.
Yeah.
Because if these people don't get their alcohol and lottery, they'll cause a riot, and it's countrywide riot instantly. That might be true.
I mean, you might be – I think you're exactly right. Like, I was thinking about it today. I was listening to Tim Dillon's podcast, and he was just making so much fun of Zelensky. and in a way that was so brilliant, because he's saying, well, they were, you know, Zelensky was an actor, and I think his wife was a model or whatever, and he was just
she fine.
They just did a magazine spread of them, like they did during a war. They did a for Vogue or something like that, right? I mean,
it
they did
Vogue,
a spread.
Yeah,
and people are pushing back on it or whatever, but he's saying that they never cared that modern day leaders understand what to say, what to do, and they're always using it to get to something else. And so Tim Dillon was making a joke, but also kind of cutting and serious about they're just going to use this as soon as this war is over. Zelensky's not going to die in it. I saw so many people going, "This is what a real leader is," and this, you know. But and yeah. So Tim Dillon says he made a brand with this, and that's what modern life is. That the leader was never going to probably die or put himself in real harm's way. But the appearance of it was always building a brand. And at some point, Tim Dillon said he's going to go to Hollywood and make amazing movies that you will love.
Books and everything. Anything he would want, he could do.
Yeah. And so nothing – that's what I'm saying. So going back to even what I was saying about my dad, nothing is – I mean, like Biltmore House, all that stuff is a brand and is trying to – make you think something that it is not actually. It doesn't really ever want you to. That's why Lunzer always probably bummed out with me when we go to a nice restaurant or something. I always think that restaurant is trying to make you think this is amazing, but it is just what it is. And so that's why sometimes I can be blown away. Like the Asian restaurant that we went to that night after walking back all the way from the comedy or whatever. Wasn't that after that? Or remember
the Taiwanese restaurant. Yeah.
That one was my favorite restaurant of the whole time, and not because I wish it would have been 10 times as much. I would love to have the story that it cost even more, and I was that blown away by it. I mean, that one really got me. Then the super nice Asian restaurant that we went to was really fun, but it was made to be fun. Mm-hmm. More than the other place was just made to make fucking amazing. Hey,
they did that on purpose where it was fun and awesome tasting. Those fucking assholes.
The Taiwanese, did you say it was Taiwanese?
No, it's fake. It was Taiwanese restaurant.
They're like, I think it was
they made it on accident.
No, but it was over
in Queens.
Queens. And they're just trying to stay alive and make food and run a restaurant. The other place is in downtown New York trying to be the hip, coolest place. And it was. They did it too.
Yeah,
it was, but it wasn't as authentic as the other place. The other place is just trying to stay alive, like an animal in the jungle or something like that. And they're doing everything they can, running this way and making it. And the other restaurant is a brand that makes you feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm. But could you not see the
Great,
there might be a
I'm
comparison
with
there with cover band versus an Emery? The Taiwanese restaurant that you loved, in a way, is kind of like a really good cover band because it's not necessarily super original.
No.
Listen. Uh-uh. It is.
Let's hear him out.
You're acting ugly.
No.
At least admit you're acting ugly.
It's one of my favorite meals I've ever had, and I feel like I kind of get a bad rap in this group sometimes. Like, maybe you think I only like expensive restaurants, but I don't.
No,
hardly.
I know you don't.
Hey, let me hear you out. I think I have Toby's point of view and share it, but let me see if I can understand
yours.
I'm
willing to listen and learn.
I have a full appreciation of the spectrum of all food experiences is what I'm trying to say. But
okay.
The Taiwanese restaurant is...
But you are biased.
Yeah, and racist.
No, the other one's run by an Asian guy, too. They're all Asian. You're calling the Asian guy in the city not authentic.
I said his restaurant was. I think
he's not quite as.
But
Asian.
I'm saying it's the difference between artist and craft, right? It's like the Taiwanese restaurant in Queens is like a really, really good guitar player or drummer, jazz trio they don't write their own stuff. Mm. They don't like, they're not, I'm not saying they're not creative, but I'm saying they are practicing a craft and they are, those recipes that they cook are very traditional Taiwanese. Maybe family recipes, and that is A-okay and maybe the best meal you could ever have. The guy in New York, he is an artist. There's a whole book about this culinary stuff. It's called Culinary Artistry, and it breaks down what the difference between an artist and a craftsman is, and it's the same. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. It translates with music.
It does translate with music. There's a lot of people, a lot of producers. Sprinkle says he's craft, not art. And Chris Keene says that as well. So both, and so I noticed that because Chris Keene and Aaron Sprinkle are the two best people I know at doing creative things inside of music. And they are creative, but they're not saying it's their song hardly or anything. Like that they're not inventing the song. They're working on it to make it the best it can be with their skills that are actually technical skills as far as they are concerned. Mm-hmm, whereas Toby is saying, so that's like a cover band in the sense that you're doing it the best it can be done. Whereas the guy in New York, what's the name of that place?
Mission Chinese.
Right. And it's great, but he's inventing the menu. Like, he's inventing a new menu, whereas the other guy is perfecting a traditional dish and serving it and hustling his ass off to do it. So, in a way, the argument I would say is that place is way more of an evolved thing, that craft thing that's evolved and refined in a way that it could not be better, whereas that other guy is getting fancy lighting and good this and a weird bathroom and a crazy sounding thing and put a weird garnish on it. Like, all that stuff is just made up, is what Toby's saying. You just made that up. Whereas the other guy, every single thing on the menu is on purpose and refined and
take
evolved.
That guy's food over to Queens and nobody celebrates
that. But that's not true at all, I think so. But also that guy can make Taiwanese beef noodle soup, too. He can do it, too.
But Toby...
The Taiwanese restaurant opened at 4 a.m. over there. They cannot do what the other guy does. They can't do it.
Yeah, but they're not trying to. He might try to do what they're doing. That's what I'm saying. He might try to copy them on a certain meal night. Or he goes, you know what? If I have glass mirrors everywhere in the bathroom, this will be cool. Or if I present...
It's my favorite bathroom I've ever been to in my whole life.
My favorite bathroom in my entire life. I couldn't believe it. That's the truth.
But all that stuff is at the foundation of being a chef. You don't just go from guy to artist chef or whatever. You learn to play the chords first. And I'm using music analogies here, but... You know, that's my take on it. So, but I'm not saying
an appeal to authority.
No, but I mean, that is a logical fallacy. I mean,
at one point, wasn't that guy the same as the? I mean, at some point, he was kind of similar to the.
Well, at one point,
restaurant.
He was just a line cook in some other. He worked at fancy restaurants, but
sure.
And somebody probably ate his food somewhere along the way in the in the smaller restaurant region or whatever, and. It's like, oh my gosh, this is the best, you know, whatever dish I've ever had.
If you went to his original shop, it was a hole in the wall. Mission Chinese, the original shop in San Francisco, is a hole in the wall. It wasn't even their own restaurant. They used a Chinese restaurant that was closed at night. So there was a Chinese restaurant during the day.
So what I'm trying to say is the brand that he built was because of his actual skill,
his creativity, and
the brand came after the
on
skill.
Top of the craft.
All those chefs, it starts with the foundation that you would see at the Taiwanese restaurant that Toby loves and I love, and you want that, but it's just, do you appreciate,
and he's no longer that,
do you appreciate the creativity of it?
But here's what I'm saying though, at some point, and I think this even applies to pastors as well. There's an authentic.
Back to Greg Locke. All right, let's go.
Greg Locke.
Every podcast comes back to Greg Locke now.
Okay, no matter what, every podcast we ever do from now on has to mention.
Is about Greg Locke. Like, whatever we're talking about, if on a deeper level,
it's all Locke. The name of this podcast is It's All Locke. Okay, you said that guy had a hole-in-the-wall restaurant in L.A.?
San Francisco and Lower East Side. Yeah.
Okay.
In Lower East Side.
Right. That's when it was the most real and authentic. And if you walked up, you would just have been blown away. Now,
and that's how it got famous.
Now I think there is some authenticity that is because the restaurant that I went to was a brand that is meant to deliver something about the whole thing, not just, oh my gosh, this is my craft. Mm. And here it is. And so that's what I think, like, the same way as pastors, I think there might be some real authenticity when there's 50 people there. But I guarantee you, Mark Driscoll, and I've heard this so many times, he was a different person and would do anything for you when the church was super small. And then once it got branded, then it's over. Then the authenticity is still, I mean, yeah. he out-preached almost anybody on a Sunday morning at his worst. Yeah. I mean, he's a phenomenal craft,
and then lost his
craftsman.
Way and fell into but, the brand yeah. And whatever.
Yeah, but if you'd have met Mark Driscoll way back when there was, you know, 30 people in a small group, house church or whatever, you would have gone, oh, my God, this is unreal. It means so much. And then it can't anymore. So, if you can stay, but that's the thing, the growth or whatever it is, the same thing is, that's why Biltmore House is amazing because it's so huge. Not because it's real or authentic. It's absurd. So yeah. That's why Taiwanese restaurant isn't absurd and can't ever be.
Well, you're right about that. The people that do the craft, and that's like the end goal is just the craft. No matter how big the line gets or how long they've been a restaurant, they don't.
Yeah.
Like this place in San Diego I go to every time we're there, it's these Mexican grandmas. They've been in business since 1921. It's the same menu for 10 years I've been going there. It is not, they have not changed at all. Yeah. And it will always be that good.
And you would hate it if it changed.
Oh, of course. But they're not artists. They're just not artists. So, and with art,
Why would you say
that? Because they're not artists. They're craftspeople. By definition, I do not believe that they're artists with their food.
You believe some chefs are artists then? Not
craftsmen. I think it is definitive that. Yes, that there are artists. I'll send you the book. You're not going to.
Well,
read
that
it.
That makes sense if you're looking at it that way. That there's some people that are craftsmen, and you know, and create. You know, the person that will come and build you a table, and you're like, holy shit, this is amazing. But there's somebody else that can create the new table.
Does so art? Art? Somebody does that art some with sense. Wood at an sure. art gallery where they hang wood from weird things, and it's commentary on something. That person's an artist that works with wood.
More.
Yeah.
And it always costs
right.
more.
Right. It costs $10,000 to have it or whatever. Yeah. That's
art
weird.
Side gets, I think the craftsman but side doesn't real. Get hacked as much as the art side does.
Well, you
the
can't art fake, side can, you can't
you,
fake
you can't fake the craft
right.
part.
So that's
right.
why it's well, so there, that's why it's so authentic and you're like, "Holy shit, this is real." You're
that's
just
right.
like my dad. This
that's
is my
getting
dad,
better
no matter what.
Now, here's where this all gets super falls apart for me is in in the musical realm. In the musical realm, it's not as if Toby banks on his craftsmanship musically. It is his artistry and out there thoughts and things that other people that he can generate. It is not his chops. It is not his. He's you know what I'm saying. In this analogy, Toby is the grand artist, not the craftsman.
Yes.
So that's why I find it bizarre.
You're right. I'm jealous of the craftsman, and you're right. You're very right.
The David Chang of the music world. Y'all know who David Chang is? He's a super famous chef.
Yeah. Is that the guy that toured around the world when he's young or something?
I don't know.
David Chow?
I don't know, but he's very famous, Momofuku. But if you read about him, all the people he cooked with coming up, they all said he was a shitty cook.
Really?
Right. That's Toby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not actually saying, I mean, Toby downplays how, I'm just saying from Toby's point of view, I'm not judging Toby as bad at bass or whatever.
Okay.
Toby downplays it. Toby tells you, oh, I'm not good at bass. I don't know anything. He is good, but that's because that's not what he wants you to value about what it is that he can do. You know what I'm saying? So Toby is the one.
Yeah, that's Toby's own insecurity. He has to let you know how bad he is at something.
But he believes he's good at something else, and it's something you can't even hardly explain because it's off. You wouldn't even understand if I told you because how brilliant he actually is.
Toby wants to be the Taiwanese restaurant, but he's the dumb dumb place in the city that he hates.
Yes, that's right. That's what I'm saying.
You're right.
That's what he is.
Holy shit, that's like on a deep level.
Yeah.
I've never heard that about myself, and I'm realizing you are exactly right.
Yes.
Fuck, Lunser, that is exactly right. I crave the craftsman. Like, I mean, I really do because I'm the artist. And
that's why you respect Chris Keene so much.
Yeah.
Like, you can never stop talking about how good Chris Keene is.
Yeah.
And so then to fuck you up like Freddie Mercury, best craftsman and best artist ever. Like, it bums
you
out.
So so anybody on the artistic side, I'm extremely critical of because I think it's lesser.
Because you're
higher value.
Because you could because the guy at the Chinese restaurant in Manhattan, Toby knows. Well, I could do that.
I could do it. I do believe
that's why
that.
That's so stupid.
I mean, give me 2 years and
get a fancy bathroom and some fried rice and put something weird on it.
That is funny you say that because Toby does say that about a lot of things. Like, I could do that. That's nothing. But he would never say that about getting better at his instrument.
Fuck. Said, there's no way I could do it. Yeah.
I like never he would say that. About what Chris or somebody that's like, really hard. Do that. Yeah.
Okay. I promise you, if you give me
same
one
with
year,
graphic design,
one yep. year and unlimited funds, I'll be the greatest chef in no. New York City.
No. He always says, if I should take a class on Photoshop. Then I could make the yeah. best. He thinks he'd be the best artist on earth if he could just use Photoshop.
If you give me unlimited funds in one year, I'll be the worst bass player you know.
What do you mean unlimited? I mean, you,
hey,
you had
I'm telling you. No. Hold on.
For a job, and you didn't try to get better at bass, it sounds like.
I okay, yeah, I'm terrible. You're right. I'm uninterested because my artist talent carries me through, so I don't need to get better. If I needed to get better, then I would.
Yes.
Right.
But
yeah,
right.
You do right. totally fine.
I do good. Just enough.
Yeah,
and that's,
totally fine.
But that is unacceptable to me, but I can't change it. Maybe I can one day. I don't. I'm lazy, whatever. But I do believe, like, okay, so did y'all ever see that? I know Devin, I think, saw it. I think Vice did a 19-minute little doc series on it where the guy said, I'm going to make the most popular restaurant in Europe, England.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
London. On TripAdvisor.
Yeah. And he did it in his backyard.
Not for 30 years he didn't do it.
No. But I'm telling you, in one year, I think you could fake artistry.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't yeah. think you
can
fake.
You can definitely fake artistry.
I don't think you can fake the craftsmanship. That's why there's certain right. diners where you're like, oh, shit. The way they make their – I mean, there's something about even Waffle House. It's a chain, I know, but, I mean, there's something there where you're like, well, holy shit. However, the craftsman that designed this model, they nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, that's
they
what I'm saying. I mean, you have to be a great craftsman
right.
to get to that level because every fast food franchise probably that you can think of is their initial craft – that they created was probably just unbelievable. Yeah. Like you think about, you know, Bojangles or whatever, you know, I mean, they might turn into one of the biggest chains in America at some point, but
right.
you look at the craftsmanship from the start.
Mm. Yep.
And they don't go, they're not trying to go past that. You know what I mean? Like they're not right. trying to go past that level of craftsmanship. They found that perfect level and then they
scaled
expanded
it.
That.
You know what's cool about it. Waffle House though? They have to, so Bojangles or Popeyes or McDonald's or whatever, you can insert anybody in there, any level of skill person, low skill, and yeah. execute that. Waffle House, you got to find fucking people that can do that at every, like, short order cook yeah. that can mm-hmm. do, like, that is really hard. That's
yeah,
why
that's
Waffle
true.
House is so cool,
that's
because it
yeah.
is highly skilled.
Being yeah, the other important point at Waffle House, and I don't remember who said it recently, but, you know, it's obviously the cleaner of any restaurant of that class because
yeah,
it's completely transparent.
Yeah.
Like you see the guy making the food. So people make fun of it being dirty, but the behind the closed kitchen doors of Denny's, you don't want to know.
Yeah.
I really look down on people who don't like Waffle House.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah, me too.
It's fucked up.
Like it makes me feel like when people say Waffle House is gross and dirty, I think
yeah.
you don't know what you're talking about. Like you actually don't know what you're yeah. talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you think they think they're better than it.
Wait a minute.
Like they think they're better than yeah. Waffle House.
Well, and this is where
you know
gets
what I'm saying.
Toby,
or people that
those
like
people
Waffle
want
House.
They think the right. nice restaurant, the art,
yeah, they think,
the
well,
chef restaurant. You know,
yeah, you'd at least want to eat at Cracker Barrel or yeah. IHOP or somewhere. You
those
know,
Cracker
like it's a little nicer.
Crackle.
You know what I'm saying? People look down on it. That makes me look down on them.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, there's nothing like after a show going to Waffle House.
Oh,
I mean, I don't. Yes. I mean, there's a few restaurants. Like, I mean, there's a few. Like, for example, in San Antonio, that Mexican restaurant that stays open all night, Devin,
yep.
and we've got a mariachi band. Devin threw some cash down, and we got a mariachi band at our table.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't.
Yeah,
think
the Mexican restaurant. I didn't. Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
When
okay.
I had to clarify that, right? Yeah. No. We gave the mariachi band money. We gave the first thing we did as soon as we saw. But I don't think that food was the best food, Mexican food I ever. But the restaurant makes
the
me want to go back. Same
great.
Way, Bucky's. There, the food and coffee and stuff, it's fine. But the brand craftsmanship of the design there is pretty phenomenal. So
it's next level. But here's the truth about one more thing about Waffle House.
Okay.
I swear to everything that I've never had a good hash brown. except at Waffle House.
The only hash browns I've ever had that are good
were
only from
that
one restaurant.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Except Waffle House.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
I tried making hash browns at home one time, like recently, and they're terrible. I know how to cook.
Yeah, there's not terrible. Even it's one not other acceptable version of a hash brown.
No.
I know.
They're always fat that's and watery and gross. And
they're a little dry.
If we're not counting like Bojangles potato rounds and stuff like
no,
that.
No,
right?
I don't even count. No, that's a potato
hash
cake
like on the griddle.
Or something.
Okay, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a flat tater tot. I don't know. It's not a hash brown.
Yeah,
it's a flat That's not a hash brown. That just got ran over by a steamroller.
There was a cook, and they're like, "Michael, we need another side item by tonight." And he sits down, and goes, "Oh shit, where am I?" And he sits down on a tater tot, bow round
hash brown.
He squishes it.
Michael, we better have a side item to buy tonight. And he goes, "What the fuck am I going to do?" Bow round.
a flat
tater
tot. That's what they serve at McDonald's in the morning and call it a hash brown.
I have never thought about just a giant flat tater tot.
One giant flat tater tot, please.
And everybody
you mean
it.
A hash brown? No. Go to Waffle House. You want a hash brown, idiot.
You want a hash brown?
That's how I'm going to order a hash brown.
We have tater tots. Are you some kind of fucking moron?
Flat
get out of here.
Tater tot.
We do have bow rounds, if you're interested.
They're so good.
Oh.
But it's a smart move, even by McDonald's. I'm not talking shit about McDonald's. I believe in their choices. Yeah. It's not like they could pull off a real hash brown. So they do the other. They do something that they can pull off, which I appreciate.
Because they can't cook.
They just call it something funny.
Yeah, what's the thing that you get at McDonald's? It's a
hash brown. They call it that.
They do call it a
hash
brown.
They call it a hash brown, but it's a flat
tater
tot.
It's like a goofy. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. McDonald's is a flat tater tot too.
Yeah,
isn't that so funny?
That's wild. You're right.
If most people would never order tater tots for breakfast.
Uh-oh, you're crazy. Right? You had to be some kind of crazy person to order tater tots for breakfast.
Literally, it's the exact ingredients.
There's zero difference.
Like Matt said, it's a flat tater tot, and in the morning, for some reason, you go, hey, I love a hash brown.
Don't even start. Everybody knows that one of the things I hate the most in the world is breakfast culture. I mean, I'm with you, Matt. 100%. I don't believe in y'all. Anybody that does anything and they talk about breakfast in a different category, I really, really don't like those people. And that's 99% of people.
I get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying.
100% of people, I'm a think. I think I'm the only person that talks shit on the meal breakfast. But
I'm with you.
Do.
But here's the thing. I love, quote unquote, breakfast food. I love, the style breakfast food. I'm not saying you can't eat it anytime or it has to be classified breakfast, whatever. Biscuits and gravy, eggs, bacon. I just love it. But you're saying it's just not
hell does liking a certain food have to do with what time of day it is? I just cannot get into that. I can never go there, and I will not go there.
Though. It's just so good in the morning.
I know.
But I mean, there's
don't know why.
You hear the people say, breakfast is food my favorite. But it's not because they don't eat it all day.
You can eat eggs anytime you want to. You just pretend to like it in the fucking morning. For some reason, it makes you feel good. If you like them, eat them. I don't care what time of day it is. And then they say, what I really love? Breakfast at night. Which means nothing.
It's so good at night, though.
You can eat eggs at night. You don't have to say you're eating breakfast at night. You can eat eggs at night.
You remind me of my dad.
Every time my mom made breakfast for dinner when I was a kid, I literally wanted to commit suicide.
Why? It's so good.
It was miserable. It was like, I feel like going back to start the day over.
No. You're saying what we're saying.
No, but I don't appreciate breakfast foods that much. Like,
just eat what you like and don't look at people like they're crazy if they eat the foods that everybody knows they like at different times of day. Good Lord.
That is bizarre.
Don't look at them like they're a maniac for thinking they like a burrito, but if it's before 11 a.m., it's got to have eggs in it?
Yeah.
Period? No, that doesn't, I'm never going to get that.
There is a difference in the way you, at least me, maybe it's just a learned behavior probably, but there's something that I feel like some foods are heavier in the morning or something. I know they're always equally heavy to my stomach, whatever.
Right. Things that are heavy, you don't want to eat them in the morning, like coffee cake and cinnamon rolls and, you know, stuff like that. What's going on?
I'm just saying, you said a burrito.
What determines it?
Well, I mean.
No, but
so I'm saying you eat a breakfast burrito with eggs and a tortilla and every other thing. And sausage or whatever, you know? I mean, what's different about it?
For some
it?
Reason, the certain tastes just kind of freak me out.
I mean, you're conditioned to it, and you're conditioned to tell yourself how much you love it and how special it is. It's just some way, it's something people just do because it's fun. And then there's brunch, which is not even anything.
Don't get me
it's just
I don't like
lunch.
Brunch. I don't like brunch.
You don't eat it until lunchtime, and you eat whatever, but you get to, you say, I mean, it doesn't, none of that makes sense. It's just all celebration of nonsense.
Well,
why in some
McDonald's,
weird way.
I mean, McDonald's. I mean,
it's what people want. I'm telling 100% of people disagree with me. I get it.
I get your point. I don't disagree with you, but
you disagree a little bit. You disagree a little bit.
Well, a little bit.
Yeah,
but I think it's just preference and conditioning. I think it's conditioning.
No, but yeah, people just, make breakfast and brunch part of their personality.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What is this?
I don't like that.
All I'm saying is when I just say foods I want to eat, people look at me with some crazy look. Like I'm some kind of crazy person that just wants to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it because I'm not in line with whatever the breakfast rules are.
It is a little interesting.
And they're nonsense rules.
Isn't it a little interesting with you because do you like much breakfast food style?
I don't even eat until about 3 p.m.
But if I did,
why would I want stuff I don't normally like?
But it's not better than a sandwich. Eggs are not better than an Italian sandwich. You can't say that. I don't think you can't say that with a straight face.
Well, if I get a biscuit and gravy with eggs and stuff, oh my God. Can't beat that.
I mean, you can't.
I think you can beat biscuits
and sausage and gravy and bacon and eggs and grits and pancakes and waffles.
Better than
spaghetti. Pretty
unbelievable. Bacon is one of my favorite foods. I cook it all the time.
I
cook a pound of bacon and eat it. I mean, I eat bacon all the time. It's one of the most common foods I eat, but I almost never eat it in the morning.
But you don't eat anything in the morning.
I know. I don't like it. I don't like breakfast food, and that's all you can do is get eggs, and I don't like them. So I don't eat them. I don't eat for supper, lunch, or breakfast. So I don't eat at breakfast because it's a bunch of bullshit food that I don't like.
No, you don't eat at breakfast because you have to eat foods that aren't breakfast foods.
There's no food I like served at breakfast time.
Beef.
So if I wanted to eat in the morning, I'm not allowed to.
I'm taking Matt. We're going to Vietnam. They eat pho for breakfast.
That'd be good.
That's awesome. They eat the pho you go for dinner. When you go get pho for dinner, they eat that just all day. That's just their food.
I got no problem with Matt's stance. I do agree with him. But all I'm saying is I really enjoy that style of food, whatever that is.
Anybody can like whatever they want. But you know that people, the way their relationship with breakfast is one of identity. And it drives me crazy.
Oh, my God.
It's like
that
a
is
deep.
True.
It's some weird
That's true.
Thing.
All right.
What are we doing?
In case you're wondering, our new album, Rub Some Dirt On It, is out.
Boring.
Come on. Come on.
How do people even keep up?
Come
10
on.
10 albums deep.
No, we're only much. 9. We're only 9. 10 is next.
It's like if Elton John put out an album this year, who cares? You're never going to listen.
What if he did something really neat?
Not neater than Tiny Dancer.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a real window for the crazy, insane stuff, right? And then it just goes away. I mean, is that the case? Like, is there a way? Because people, like for us, people say walls or something, you know. But there are definitely many songs that we've written since Walls that are way better. But it just can't. It has to be
hard.
A culmination
better
of
craft,
the moment
maybe.
And the
Johnny
crowd,
Cash
the
did
listener,
it with her.
And everything.
Johnny Cash had a rejuvenation, but it was like a new crowd.
But that was because it was his butt that did it all for him.
T-Bone or whoever.
No, who's the producer of Hurt?
Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin.
I mean, Rubin and, you know, Trent Reznor, I don't know that Johnny Cash would have had it in the tank. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. But
y'all saying somehow they
get
they
them.
Did it.
Get them.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can stream our new album on Spotify. It'd be really nice it'd be nice to have more than Memphis Mayfire. We're not doing a Kickstarter, although we do ask for money to join the club. But, you know, no, it's, I mean, Memphis Mayfire's fine, right, everybody? Pick up a CD or vinyl at emorymusic.com. Vinyl is estimated to come in around November. And we're headed on tour very soon. I think I have to drive our van from my house to Seattle next week. Is that right?
Eesh. Pretty soon.
Fuck. Coming it's like 2,000 miles, so...
Sorry.
If I leave on Thursday, 4 days, that's got to be plenty, right? Like, I mean, that's
you'll do it less than that.
Crossing 2.5 one time.
Yeah, but I that's what I'm saying, though. I'm 46 now. I don't know if it's I can harder. Do it. I actually don't. The last time I drove the van from West Palm Beach to Champaign, and it was rough. It was not. It was not like I remember pre. Like, man, long COVID has got a hold of me with driving. All right. But anyway, we'll be on tour in 2 weeks, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? West Coast.
Less than
Vital Threat, Watashi Wa, Aaron Gillespie, Norma Jean.
Yep. August 16th, San Francisco. 17th, Reno, baby. 18th, Anaheim. 19th, Los Angeles. August 20th is San Diego. And then August 21st is Phoenix. And I'll let the folks in a little bit after that Phoenix show. I don't think I'm driving home. Because our next show is the following weekend. It's on Saturday in Wichita, Kansas. And I don't really want to drive the van all the way to, like, Wichita, hop on a plane, fly home probably on Tuesday at the earliest, get home late Tuesday night, and then fly home Wednesday, Friday. Thursday, and fly Friday. I was like, I just don't. So I would only be home for 2 actual days that it mattered. It's not going to. So I'm going to be in from somewhere between Phoenix and Wichita by myself.
That's an amazing part of the country to be in.
That really
You got to have like a desert ayahuasca journey with a shaman.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
You go to Albuquerque and the Grand Canyon, ayahuasca and Flagstaff or whatever.
No, but the problem is if I did it, but I can't do it by myself.
You're a shaman. You have to have a spiritual guide. Good Lord.
Get a shaman somewhere like in
Albuquerque, you know, in Flagstaff, out of a mountain outside of Flagstaff. You know what I mean? God. Go up through a national park one. After that for 2 days, and we'll see you in Wichita.
Oh, man. But I'll
you'll be a
different.
New man. You'll be different. Different.
I will not be the same. I'll tell you about all these hexagonal shapes I saw and that bullshit. Fuck. I think at this point in my life, there is no way I wouldn't do it. I'd be scared. Maybe it kills me or not. I don't know, but I just.
It freaks me out. I don't think I could do it.
I think I'm there.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes me scared of, like, your life actually changes. Like, you longer want to be married or your kids or, you know, like, who knows? It freaks me out.
But that would mean that that's the truth.
Would it?
That's what, yes. I think
is that real, though?
I think so. I think it lowers your whatever defense mechanism to keep your life. And so if you found out you didn't love your wife and kids, then
at least
you'd
have found out.
Love them. It would be the truth, and you would, that's why it's so scary to face
no,
it.
You'd blame the drug.
So you
people
don't
would
love
blame
them right
the
now,
drug. Society would blame it. It's just well, you don't know. You just could find out if you wanted to.
Well, okay. How okay?
You wouldn't know from where you're standing now, but
how
you
are
could
we
find
sure
out.
That that's not the? I mean, how we know that's not just your mind just exploring new.
But what is that? I mean, that might be what your mind's
like.
Doing
why is
now.
That necessarily truth? I'm just saying.
The idea, the idea would be that you, that you, it would break you through to seeing a deeper truth. And then the only other way you could say it, you would have to say something that would start to sound weird at some point. That a lot of people say it's like the drug is to blame for what I do from here out.
Right.
See what I'm saying? You have to make that argument at some point, but you know it starts to sound weird.
Sure.
So if you had more experiences, whatever they were, however you got them, and then made drastic changes in your decision making, you would have to say blame the drug at some point or embrace that reality.
Right.
So that's a little scary.
It freaks me out.
Yeah.
Right. It freaks me out.
Because you can say drugs can screw somebody up, because they can. You know.
Now we're back to tour dates.
Well, that makes that Phoenix date really important to come out to, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it might be the last time you ever
see it. You see what I'm saying? That's the last time you see this, Toby. That's your last opportunity, is that Phoenix show. What's the date again, 21st?
Yeah, 21st is the last time you'll ever see me.
Now, also, That Wichita show could be really insane, so you might want to pick those up. That's a for Lovers Fest. That's the new tote first show.
Ooh,
the new
you're
tote,
right.
So.
For Wichita is for Lover. Kansas is for Lovers Fest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what date is that? That's the following weekend after the 21st, right?
Yep. That's the
27th. 27th, right? Wichita, 28th, mm-hmm. Denver.
My birthday in Denver.
Hawthorne Heights. It's gonna be dope. We're gonna try and have JT on here too if we can before.
Denver shows my birthday. Whoever thinks that's important, meet you there. Meet you for breakfast on my birthday, everybody.
Oh man, we're gonna get you such a good. I can't wait to take you out for
your brunch,
B-day breakfast,
omelet.
Happy birthday to you!
At like 5:30 a.m.
Hey, bud.
And then I post about it on social media and tell people how great my friends are for months afterwards.
Right. Always remember that at MarriageSupply.com, you get 10% off with code all over. Marriage Supply, if you don't know, it's our own sex toy, adult toy shop. We started it years ago, and it's been going really well. And, so we want you to order some products to, make your wiener hard, like make your vagina wet.
I was about to say, what about the women?
Yeah, everything, buttholes. I mean, it seems like the buttholes are getting way more
wetter.
Popular. Wetter and more popular is what I would say, right? Like, I felt like it used to be considered no when you're talking about buttholes. But now buttholes for everybody, doesn't matter. Or free game, right?
So he's just trying to put his own personal journey out there in the world to get us to agree with him.
See, anybody else know?
You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what I'm saying? You just put something up there.
Yeah.
Guys, we've all been there. Right? Come on. Yeah. Don't get shy now. We know. You know what I'm talking about.
I will say that today, now, have you guys ever had hemorrhoids?
Oh, my God.
I don't remember a time I hadn't had them. I've never had them.
Ever?
But I don't think I have.
Golden child.
No.
Have y'all?
Yeah.
I've had a little.
I don't even know what they would be.
It's like a friend that comes back.
Nobody wants you to talk about it. So that's why nobody talks. It's one of those you don't talk about it.
I want to talk about it. I've had it many times.
Well, my point was today.
15 skip.
My butthole was itching so bad. It was itching so bad, and I was scratching it,
and
it felt so good.
Oh, my God.
Is there a sex toy for this or something?
Yeah, I was just kind of branching off the Marriage Supply butthole thing.
Yeah.
But it felt good, scratching it.
Like you were, like, hard?
No, but I could see where it was going, you know what I mean?
I'm telling you.
If you
all
just kept
over,
going.
10% off, MarriageSupply.com.
But. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So this week, also, if you, like we were saying earlier, if you like our band Emory and you want to support us, well, you can join Emory Land if you go to emorymusic.com and you get the bonus episode from this podcast, and which we're going to be doing here in just a minute. And we keep it going. So
part two.
Yeah, okay. Part two is what that's called.
Really nasty shit. Sorry.
And you get a bunch of Emory music catalog stuff that other people don't get, access to a bunch of stuff. And so that's really good. And you get your name read on this podcast. So, Matt, do you have them pulled up or you don't?
I have them close by. Here we go.
Okay.
Last
week it was foreign words for vagina, if you remember. But this week is words for penis.
Okay. So, well, here is the first one. We've got new member Alita Grinde. Yeah.
Okay. Great job there. This one, I think I think a lot of the clubbers have been really pushing the limit. So this week they all are really like just by the book. They're not getting crazy or wild, okay? This is educated new clubbers, okay? So what was her name? Grindy?
Yep.
Manhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's her favorite. Manhood. It's her favorite word for
classy.
Not foreign.
That's not foreign.
Nickname. From like a romantic novel. That's a euphemism used in a romantic novel. She caressed his
throbbing manhood.
Yep. Yeah, right. Yes. She caressed his throbbing manhood in the moonlight.
It's classy. She's not getting in the ditch over here with all these other freaks.
No. Okay, how about this one? Ben Nutter.
Nice.
Is that Ben Nutter?
It's Ben Nutter.
His name?
I went to college with Ben Nutter.
Well,
that can't be the same Ben Nutter.
Here he is.
There's probably more than one.
I hope. I guess you're right. But I mean, we were like best buds at Charleston Southern.
Maybe it is.
That's crazy. That'd be really wild if he was and he didn't tell me. It's probably not though. I think he would have probably told me. He just went classic schlong.
Schlong.
Yep.
Schlong's a good one.
Yep.
Nutter likes a schlong. Justin Martin.
Shaft. Old school. You know, a lot of connotations there, but it's right. It's you know, it's just, once again, it's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Next one is Jonathan Houston or Huston. I believe it's Huston, unless it's a Houston typo.
He went all time. Peter.
I like that.
Peter.
Yeah. Peter.
That's like your dad says or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put your
Don't
Peter
mess with
away.
Peter.
Stop playing with your Peter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and if it was in one more of a more serious mode, it would go from Peter to Pecker.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Just wanted to be a little more zing to it.
Yeah, yep. Pecker.
Which is the last one, by the way. What's the last name?
That's Kate Richer or Ricker or Riker.
Yeah. You know how you said Pecker? Peckerwood.
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 That's good. When I thought you were doing foreign names, I had a good idea for one. That sounds perfect. German. Kackenschlong.
Kackenschlong.
Kackenschlong. Isn't that brilliant?
Kackenschlong.
Yeah, very good.
Kackenschlong. German.
Sounds German.
A German name for penis. Kackenschlong.
I love it.
All right. Auto
was
good.
Do we want to do... like one damn news story?
Let's do it.
I'll tell you what. We'll do one damn news story, and then we'll do another one when we get on the other side.
We'll take a pee break, and then we'll do part two, and we'll continue the news.
Yeah. Can I ask a question real quick? Is my background not showing up?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's funny.
Okay, nobody mentioned it. I didn't know if it was.
I thought you didn't want us to say anything.
It's funny or not to say anything.
Well, that's what I didn't know. I fucked up the improv, I guess. I guess the all yes and was to not acknowledge.
Well, we figure everybody's seeing it, and it just makes sense. It's just part of the experience.
Marshall, I actually think you should edit all that I just fucked up out, Marshall.
No, no. That's like the chef.
I just fucked it up.
What you did is the chef came out and just pointed out, did y'all see how brilliant this garnish was that I put on the side of y'all's plate? It's like I cut that apple in that weird way, zigzag like that. Did you see it?
Did y'all see that?
Because that's like the coolest part.
Did y'all see the drizzle?
Oh, my God.
Well, I'll tell you the evolution of the drizzle pattern
of that chipotle mayo. Aioli, I'm sorry.
It started with a picture of Toby, and then I thought, well, I don't know. And then I was like, no, Science Mike. And then I had Science Mike behind there, and then y'all kept taking so long, and then I was like, wait a second.
Now you're just spoiling future weeks' garnish.
Yeah,
we got Lambesis. Yeah, that could have been next week.
Sit with Science Mike next week. You don't have to spoil it.
All right. I'm sorry.
All right, let's get in one damn news story for the folks, and then on the other side, you can join right now. If you join right now, you can go.
You can get joined and signed up before this episode ends. That's a great time
to pause.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to pause. If you just
listen while you do it.
Like we got a few minutes. We got plenty of time left for you to be ready.
What the fuck is wrong
to continue?
Not you. I'm talking about the people that aren't signing up.
I know, but I also
EmoryLand.com. You fucking bitches.
You want to hear us murder?
Wait till you don't believe what we'll say on the other side.
Got a murder.
All right. This first one, hadn't had this in a while. A roving reporter. And it's our good buddy, Ward Huey. Okay. He sent it in. Okay. This comes from Vice. The grave of 99-year-old Katerina Perez is now topped with a huge penis and testicles weighing nearly 600 pounds. Before her death, 99-year-old Perez had one final wish, a giant statue of a dick on top of her grave. Her family unveiled the completed monument and a 5.5-foot-tall cock and balls weighing nearly 600 pounds mounted on her tomb at a cemetery in Mexico this past weekend. She wanted to break the paradigm of every Mexican where things are sometimes hidden because of not having an open mind. Her grandson
Amazing.
Said.
Amazing.
She was always cool. Very avant-garde, very forward-thinking about things. Her family unveiled the completed monument, a 5.5-foot tall, mounted it. Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. It repeated it for whatever reason. Anyway, he said, she always said in the Mexican sense that we are vergas. I don't know what that means. Anyway, diamond verga, which perhaps best
Fuck
translated.
That language.
She said, there are a few words in Mexican slang as dynamic as verga. Or verga, which is perhaps best translated in English as cock. So anyway, I think it's kind of like an FU and just wanted to be, you know, kind of funny. But, yeah, there's a giant dick on her tomb. Now, my question is, have y'all thought about your death at all? Like, what you would actually like? Will you do anything? Like, there's been times
you know,
I hadn't thought
about it, but now I'm thinking about it. This is the first time in my life I've ever considered it. You just triggered it. Here we are. Oh, fuck.
Here we go.
I hadn't thought about it before, but now that you say that,
now.
I'm going to die.
But, I mean, I've thought about it before, like, set me in a chair or something. People walk by, and I've heard the people doing that, and I was like, that is kind of cool. Casket really does freak me out. Like being in a room with a casket and a person in it, it freaks me out.
It, yeah,
it
isn't that weird?
Me.
Like that's something
really
I would
me.
Never do is like won't be that fancy person laying in a fancy casket where you like it doesn't seem like that would be something I would do.
I know.
I don't know if there's a reason I would want to do it after I was dead, but I don't think I would. If I don't want to now, why would I then? But I'd probably change my mind after I'm dead.
I think it's just always for the family.
Like, if I'm dead and I float up, I'll be glad that I was in that casket while I look back down. Like, yeah, that actually was appropriate. Do you think that's what I would think while I'm floating up?
For no one.
No, you would just, I mean, it's just for the family. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, I don't think people care at all. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think people care. Like, when my dad died, I mean, he tried for 15 years to build his own pine box or whatever.
That's more of my fantasy.
Ronnie, we're not going to do that. You know, it's just the family's like, no, that's disrespectful. But you don't care about yourself. You're like, well, I care.
Yeah.
But everybody else is like, well, we care about you. We love you. We want it to be respectful.
Yeah.
So it's more that.
I mean, I could see, you know, having a funeral and feeling like what looking at who came and what they said as being valid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that as being cool, but the casket part, not, you know, the ceremony. I think I like the idea that y'all would give me a funeral and say stuff about me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take that.
It'd be cool if you're just sitting there with like podcast microphone in front of you and headphones or something, you know, that'd be as cool.
But if I could bring some levity to it,
sitting up in a
chair, would be good.
Yeah, that'd just be
so
great.
My God.
Matt's at a desk for the mic.
Don't do that.
He's walking around with the phone in his hand. That'd be so great. Be way better than I don't even understand what the cast is. A casket, I mean.
It's just a bed.
I know, but
like,
I mean,
rest in peace. It's like be comfortable.
I know, but it's just, isn't it bizarre all the woodwork and everything in it like
and how much it cost.
So I mean, it's like a wedding dress, but you don't ever even get to use it again or pass it down.
Think about how little amount of humans probably in the history of time have actually been buried in caskets. I mean, it's very small.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of being like a Egyptian mummy.
I mean, war is really fucking up that ratio.
Just unbelievable.
I never told y'all this. My uncle, I sang at his funeral. And he had a pine box built.
Oh, he did?
And he was buried. But no joke, when they picked him up to carry him out of the church, it started, like, breaking apart.
it was a bad idea.
They don't tell you about pine boxes is they're not built well. The pine boxes.
They're not strong, yeah.
A casket is a little bit more sturdy. I started seeing, like, his foot at the end where it started breaking.
Are you serious?
Yes. And I was like, oh, shit. I thought this thing's going to – I was like, is he about –
Did it look like a – just
one of the pallbearers, whatever, grabbed that in and handled it, and it was fine. But like, it was like, it was just like not. It wasn't built well. Like a
what
pine box.
Boards,
it is cheap.
What pine boards? If you go to Home Depot, were they? Is what I'm asking you.
Very. Yeah.
They
yeah,
weren't
just the
one
normal.
Bias. They weren't one bias. Do you know what I'm saying? They weren't one bias. Right. Right? They were. What?
Two by?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, they weren't two by fours, right?
No, no, no. It wasn't that.
It was one by and two pine?
It was like,
what was it?
It was like the wood that we put under our bunks on a bus. Yeah.
Two by fours.
The plywood.
No, no, not two by four. Like the.
That's like quarter
not,
inch.
Not plywood.
Maybe half
it was
inch.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, the. You know
like that, plywood.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, but it wasn't. But it was like. Yeah, I guess so.
So it was maybe some half inch CDX with two by four bracing.
I don't know.
I'm trying to get it in my head. Like, if they made it, what lumber did they use? Is where I'm stuck right at the moment. Sorry.
No, it was like better wood than that. It was like one. Plywood is like different plies, though. It didn't have plies. It was like one
solid. $80 worth is what in my head, you know.
I don't know who built it, but it started. But luckily,
it leaked. It,
was okay.
It leaked. So yeah. What was in it?
Matt's thinking
out?
About what the guy's cart looked like in Home Depot.
Yeah, I think like what are the materials?
Checking out. Like, what did he have on that cart?
You saw his leg pop out of the side of the leaky cask. Pine casket.
Anyway. All right. Let's take a pee break. See y'all in Emery Land.
All right. I actually got to pee.
Yeah, I want to. And then we'll come back in.